The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
To the 51st episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan, and with me is the hippest man in the room, Glitch.
What's up?
And across the pond is the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
And the stupid, awesome, manless John.
Woo!
51!
Yeah. 51 episodes it took for me to not mess that up.
We're number one. Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think of Watan? She's our Moetan that you can now see in our thumbnails. Yeah.
Woo!
Eh. Right in those thumbnails.
We have a Moetan. We took inspiration from, we took pictures of from Kill la Kill and stuff like that, and we worked on that. Yeah,
a very Studio Trigger based design.
What do you know what the date is that this episode will be out?
Yeah, the 6th of November.
November 6th.
Oh, really? Because I was going to mention that that's the day after Naruto ends.
Oh, yeah.
Naruto no kidding. Ends?
Yeah, the manga. Anyway.
The manga is ending in, two issues now, I think.
What? Holy crap.
Like, so we can talk more about it and what we're watching if you want.
Sure.
Or reading.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I mean, okay. So, guys, because we're starting like a new chunk of the Wicked Anime Podcast, we're going to change it up for you guys this episode. We're going to see trying different new things and all that kind of stuff. We got some new segments that everybody's making up, and I'm rambling on. We had a skip week, so I kind of got to get back into the swing of things. So for this episode, we're going to kind of do a roundtable for news. So ring the news bell.
News.
Who's got some news?
You got the news.
Glitch.
You guys didn't look up any news. You didn't do your homework.
No.
Fine.
We were the cool kids that in the back of class all the time.
Well, fine then. I did do my homework because I knew that there was a very low probability of it actually working.
Great preparation.
Yeah, let's start off with some media news. I got a piece that they announced that in Cars 3 there's going to be a cameo by Lupin the Third's car. From the Hayao Miyazaki film, the little jalopy thing that he
really
drives. There's going to be one in Cars 3.
In one of the worst Pixar series.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in all places.
And almost easily the lowest rated one. Yeah.
I still don't think I've seen any of the Cars movies.
You haven't even seen the first Cars?
See, number one was okay. Number two is, I don't know, it's funny, but it's really not a great movie. It's very Disney funded. Like, you could tell that Disney was behind it and Pixar was just not, they phoned it in. They could have even just had Disney Canada, or Pixar Canada do it. You know, the ones who do all, like, the short films and stuff.
The short films are awesome.
Yeah, the short films are awesome, but that's where they all go. And that's probably where they did the Cars one.
Yeah, but they're not stuck with anthropomorphic cars with the short films.
But I don't know. I don't really understand why. Like, the only thing that I can't think of for the Lupin the Third thing is, like, no kid is going to go see Cars 3. And it's like, that's Lupin the Third car. No. I mean, like, and I doubt that any parents who are bringing kids to go see Cars 3 are going to be like, I'm here to look for the Lupin the Third car.
Oh, well, care that much about the movie in the first place to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we are. I mean, we totally would. I mean, if we knew that there's a cameo of...
Well, yeah, we would look for
that's
it.
What we would... That's what
I'm
we're
not for. Spending a ticket just to see Lupin's car.
Yeah.
Especially on Cars 3. Yeah,
I want to see Lupin's car last you watch Lupin the Third.
You actually, if you want to, like, wait for it, like, if... You just Google search it after the movie comes out, and it's like, where's the Lupin the Third car? And there it is on Google, in a red circle even. You can't even miss it. Wow. Hey, check this out.
Now we know.
There's a cool gadget coming out in Japan, developing by a company called Tempscope, or Temposcope. They create
or
like
Temposcopy.
This... Temposcopy.
Temposcopy.
It lasts for a little while.
It's a cube that you can put on like a shelf or something like that. And it tells you what the weather is like outside by emulating it inside this glass cube.
So cool. So, like, if
you have, like, a foggy day, it actually creates fog on the inside of the cube. Or, like, if it's cloudy, it'll do the same thing. If it's sunny, there's, like, a light that turns on it and it emulates a sunny day.
If you live in dry parts of California, you just see a fire inside of it.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
Well, I want to see during...
London, oh, God.
I want to see during, like, a lightning storm if it, like, fills up with lightning and starts shooting around your house.
What if there's a Sharknado?
Oh, God. This sounds like the Tesseract. It's like a weird
weatherack.
I'd like to see how it actually looks. Oh, listeners,
it's not even really a cube.
That's
more of a prism.
It's
wait, a prism?
All of these pictures of it look the same. Was it just raining the whole time they had
it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, it was in Florida. They brought it to Florida, so it was just raining all the time. You have to be careful, or it'll actually
put love
flood.
Bugs in there.
Put love bugs in it.
It looks like
love bugs are like a weather pattern now.
Yeah,
you lived in Florida.
I know, but I'm just saying. It's just like the entire inside lining of the cube is just filled with dead bugs,
dead love bugs.
Come on, you know Florida has a couple of seasons: rainy season, hurricane season, love bug season, and hot as fucking ball season.
This doesn't look as cool as I thought it would.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
it's not even cube shape.
You're just so disappointed.
It looks like an empty like water bottle with just like some water residue left inside.
You just leave it sitting out for a while.
That's what it looks like.
It looks like the, you know, these speakers you see at Spencer's that you hook your iPod and like makes the water jump.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's another case in.
Yeah, we're waiting. Remember, we didn't do our homework, so.
So in the UK, there is now this whole thing is developing, like the ban on manga and with the child pornography thing going on, because like everybody thinks that anime is child pornography because everybody's all uptight about around the world now and stuff. There was a guy who he was sentenced to 9 months, sorry, in prison for possession of quote unquote child pornography when honestly all he had was manga that involved schoolgirls on his computer. What's come up of it is Ken Akamatsu, the guy who did Love Hina and Negima and those kinds of shows.
That bastard.
He's been speaking out about it because he's really disapproving of this.
Yeah, Ken Akamatsu's awesome.
Yeah, he's like defending.
I know he's awesome, but Love Hina just.
Love Hina was awesome.
No,
Love Hina is awesome.
Is awesome. Glitch.
We are going to fight this
forever.
Are you more of a
hate Hina?
Yeah.
I love hate Hina. I remember we had this, like, about Mimi. Yeah. Remember it was, like, one of my guilty pleasures?
It's a love-hate Hina relationship.
Love hate Hina.
He loves it, but he's not in love with it.
Except Nairu. Fuck Nairu. That bitch can die in a fire. A napalm fire, where it sticks to her skin and bones, and she feels every piece of her body melting off.
I think you could go to prison for talking like that.
That's not a real person.
Well, I could go to prison for owning a manga, too, so...
That's actually a really good point. These aren't real people. Even when it doesn't involve, like, anything pornographic in the least, like, they still freak out about this stuff. Almost as if we're gonna... I mean, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund always...
Are you taking your pants off to this? Are you taking your pants off?
Honestly, it's like... If it was, like, illustrated Disney Channel, because, like, a lot of the young stars they have on there end up growing up to be pretty questionable adults.
Yes, I would agree with that.
That's true. Yeah,
these people have never seen the internet or Google searched anything without the safe search on.
Or know how to encrypt files like that.
Hey, buddy, what you in for? Murder. What you in for? Robbery.
I really liked Naruto.
Like, what you in for? Manga possession.
So it's weird. So this is the first case that we ever saw of it happened in Canada, and then now where it's going, it hit Japan after they released their new laws, which covers like everything. It's so vague that it covers everything, and now it's hit the UK. So it's only a matter of time before, or we can't even be selling manga anymore. So there's now a smartphone RPG. It's a smartphone RPG game for iPhone and Android. One of the features that is in the game is the heroine in the story is a cat girl,
But the cool part about
that's why he knows about it.
The cool part about the story.
Andrew probably showed it to him.
Listen, this is actually cool. You can you can take a picture of your own cat, and it creates you a custom cat girl.
I don't think I ever want to do that ever in my entire life.
Why not?
Why?
Don't what you want to see
a boy? What if I have a dog?
Then that's not a cat.
Exactly.
Do you know the difference between a cat and a dog? One's a cat and one's a dog.
And if you don't have a cat, you just borrow somebody else's cat. One that you are particularly fond of.
Hey, howdy, neighbor. Are particularly fond of that cat. Particularly
fond of
that. Howdy, neighbor.
Hey, come here, cat. Come here, cat. I saw you with the neighbor. I saw you with the neighbor. What were you doing?
You whore.
Are you talking to a cat in this hypothetical situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that tuna on your breath? You don't feed you beef and chicken.
Meow. Who's feeding you? Mix, please deliver.
I hope this gets a translation.
And this is an app that really delivers.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow. So that was actually gaming news. Andrew, do you have any news?
Yeah.
Did you do your homework?
I did, but it's only strange news.
Okay.
But well, I can, however, talk about gaming news, which comes from our fan, Mike.
Okay, yeah, do it.
So, Mike sent us some gaming news. Coming from, I believe it's either the Nintendo guys or Game Freak. So it's a Pokemon update where there is a Pokemon game in development where you get to catch all 719 Pokemon in that one game.
Holy crap! that's a lot of either 2D sprites or 3D models.
I think it's gonna be 3. Let me say.
That's a lot of childhoods just down the drain.
Seriously. Unless you've already caught them all, in which case you're already ahead of the game, and this doesn't even phase you.
There's gonna be that one poor sap that's gonna spend all of his time trying to catch them all in that series. Series alone.
Yeah, or they're gonna they've already completed it, and so they're gonna do it again in this one game.
And then they're gonna catch all the shiny versions.
Ooh, shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
I did also see all the Mega Pokemon, the Mega version of Pokemon are going to be in, you know, Ruby and Sapphire, the new Ruby and Sapphire.
Uh-huh.
And Beedrill gets a Mega form. I'm just saying. Staberto gets even better.
So Staberto will be like Mega Staberto?
Yep.
Double Staberto.
See,
Staberto Benderes.
Basically, I can't tell if it's saying that there's a new game coming out with all 719 Pokemon, or if it's Ruby and the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire that's coming out, where you can catch all 719.
I'd assume it'd be a new game.
What's that?
I'd assume it'd be a new game, considering that how fast they put it out after X and Y.
Yeah,
that's a lot of stuff too, because some of those aren't even character models yet.
Here's to hoping that it is a brand new Pokemon game where you can catch all 719. Because I will catch me a Froakie, I will catch me a Pachirisu. And that's all I need to be happy.
I just need a Beedrill.
Which reminds me, didn't Mike also tweet to us saying, hey, we should talk about Pacific Rim 2?
Yeah, just mentioning the potential release date for Pacific Rim 2 and the fact that there's actually a teaser trailer poster for it now. So, what was the release date for Pacific Rim 2?
2016.
Yes.
So we got a while. We got a long time. So it's time for some strange news.
Woo! Yeah. Wait, do we have a sound for that?
No, we don't have a sound for that yet. We don't have a sound.
We're testing out new sounds, guys.
We're in a bit.
You haven't yet.
We haven't yet. No, we haven't done that yet. We will in a couple minutes, probably.
Japan.
That wasn't one of them.
That wasn't one of them, but we do have that.
Japan. This comes from Anime News Network, where they posted very recently that singer and voice actress Shoko Nakagawa, she's on tour currently in Japan, and she has broken her tailbone in the middle of the tour. Now, she broke her tailbone doing a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure pose on stage.
The pose is way too strong.
This is strange, because, she was doing a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure
pose. She broke a bone.
But she's going to, she said she's going to continue doing the tour with the broken tailbone. I don't know if she's going to continue doing JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stuff, but in an initial interview with her, she talks about how big of a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan she actually is.
So much that she would break a bone over it.
Yeah, well, you don't get, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool.
How can she continue to do a tour with a broken tailbone? That means you can't walk.
You can walk.
Yeah, but you walk like you got it. You got crap in your pants.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but I mean, she's actually, that's some pretty hardcore dedication.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, if you're a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan, you know what's up. So she knows what's
coccyx.
Up. She even goes as far as saying that Jotaro is her husbando, which is pretty awesome. And that's pretty thrilling. So thank you, Shoko, for giving us an awesome pose, breaking your bones, and
Sorry about your butt.
Yeah, sorry about your butt. I'm sure she's fine.
So I guess the running gag after her show when she records, instead of break a leg, is break a tailbone.
Yep.
Break your ass.
Break your coccyx.
Guard your butt.
With this new current news of Ebola hitting the world, like almost as if it's like a second plague going on, which it's not really that big of a deal
as long as it stays contained, we should be fine.
Yeah. Don't lick vomit, people.
Yeah. Hey, in the past week, has somebody sweated on you, peed on you, vomited on you, or bled all over you? No, then you don't have Ebola.
If it's all of the above, you have worse problems.
Yeah. Or some really awesome fetishes.
Awesome would be okay.
Awesome as in they strike awe.
That is the definition of awesome.
Well, anyways, you know how recently, like, people have been getting rid of airport travel? Like, they've been shutting down
closing
airports.
Closing off foreign travel.
Can't get there? Well, unfortunately, anybody who is planning on going on vacation to North Korea can no longer go there.
Man.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, it's North Korea has shut down all access. Yep, they've shut down all access to their wonderful, beautiful resorts behind their guard towers. Yeah, and you can no longer go see their nuclear arms museum or anything like that for the time being while Ebola is still a problem.
Man, all that awesome...
There goes my Christmas holiday.
All that awesome 1950s equipment that they use.
I really wanted to use a rotary phone.
Oh, yeah. Rollerblades. Man. Oh. I want to take that trip back in time.
We're laughing at North Korea right now.
As the whole world does.
We just lost Kim Jong-un as a listener, too.
Darn,
war, you guys.
Which also means we probably lost Dennis Rodman, because he's like, hey, Kim Jong-un, you heard Wicked Anime?
Listeners.
Yeah, they made fun of me on their podcast. Well, I'm not listening to them anymore.
He's just going to, like, dribble out of the room.
In a wedding dress.
Yeah, talking about going back in time.
So, hey, check it out. You guys remember the Double Down? Yeah, remember how from KFC?
I've seen pictures of the new thing, and I refused to click on it to find out anything else.
It is
go ahead and disgust me.
It is a KFC bunless burger. It has KFC chicken for buns, and it is a bacon cheeseburger.
It looks like it has barbecue sauce on it too.
It might. It is just okay. So
first
I tried
disgusting bowl, not a Double Down, and then this shit, Nick.
When they first came out with a Double Down, I tried it, and it was the worst mistake of my life.
Yeah, it made you sick, right?
I only had like 3 bites of it, and I was like, "This is disgusting," and I put it down, and then I went home and I pooped.
Wait, is this exclusive to Japan, or is it making its way over? Do you know?
This article actually is talking about Korea at the moment.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking if this was in Japan, I wonder if they would ever do a Squid Ink Double Down burger.
That would probably make it taste better.
Not from what I've heard. It would have like a weird fish aftertaste and be really salty on top of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so KFC and Long John Silver combo.
Just so much sodium. But no, actually, Japan does have a version of it. It's not a burger. It's actually a rice patty that they put in the middle of it instead of burger, which I guess I would prefer a burger. But I mean, like, but I don't know.
I mean, honestly,
who thinks of this stuff?
People who are like, you know, they probably go to college students.
The colonel?
It really doesn't.
The colonel.
It really doesn't sound gross. It just, I would not eat it. Yeah. You know,
it sounds gross to me.
Why does it sound gross, though?
One, I guess it's still some residual hate for KFC for working there for a year in high school. But also,
I love KFC, man.
KFC is still probably one of the best chicken places. I'll give them that. I just can't eat anything there because
Do you ever meet the Colonel?
Yes, I've met the Colonel.
Is he a cool guy?
No, he's on the bucket. But
you're just talking to him all day long.
Hey, on slow days, he gets that insanely boring.
He shows up throughout Glitch's life like a Star Wars ghost. And remember, Glitch, my 12 herbs and spices.
Use the sport, Glitch. But, like, just the thought of it.
It is gross. I mean, like,
I don't know.
I wouldn't eat it. I definitely wouldn't eat it, but I don't think it's, like... because there's nothing nasty on it. Like, it's just chicken, bacon, and beef.
Yeah.
So... Like,
quality-wise, is nothing wrong with it. But just the thought of... I love meat. I love bacon cheeseburgers. I love chicken. Especially fried chicken, because I'm Southern, not black. And
I didn't say anything. What? Gosh.
Dude, let me just break this out to you. Everyone loves fried chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Everyone loves fried chicken. It will bring us
together. If I ever tried this burger, and I use that in the biggest quality fingers I possibly can, it'd have to be between three or four other friends we all put in on it and cut it in that section, because I don't think anyone should eat an entire piece.
Yeah, it doesn't look that big, and I just can't. I mean, there's no bun to it, so you're just holding this greasy thing this whole time, like eating like a greasy.
It comes in a little sock. It comes in a little paper sock.
Yeah, I touch it, and it's like covered in grease because they're all wearing their gloves.
Ask for two paper socks. Double down on the paper socks.
But like, seriously, first that KFC bowl is, ugh.
Hey, what's wrong with the KFC bowl?
I've made them. I've tried them.
I really want KFC now, though.
But
I do too. Their snackers are awesome.
Dip those tenders in the mashed potatoes. Oh man, so good. So good.
The biscuits. Okay, the biscuits are still good.
Don't get me started on biscuits.
See, when I worked there, I made the best biscuits because I take it out of the oven, slather it in both sides with butter, then take a packet of jelly and put it in between so the jelly would melt and sop into the butter. Biscuit, oh. How would they even make a burger at KFC?
Yeah, that's what I kind of want to know, too. And they got bacon, so that means that they have all three proteins in one bite, which is... That of course, sounds amazing, but in concept, it's great. We're talking about this for a really long time.
No, seriously, KFC still have the setup, as I remember.
There is
nowhere to cook a burger unless it's in the oven.
That's true.
It's going to be a freeze-packed patty anyways.
Yeah, do they have microwaves at KFC? They could
might be a microwave too.
Because now they have like those Tyson burgers that you can just throw into the microwave and for like a minute and you have a burger.
Burger in quotation marks.
Yeah, you have meat of some sort.
And bread,
meat in quotation marks.
And maybe bread.
So last up for strange news,
it's
we
the
have
KFC cast.
So KFCC.
Yeah.
Or KFC PC.
P.
We have this this Taiwanese idol who is making a tour across China right now. And the way that she's making her tour across China is she's not paying for a dime of it, because she is offering to have people pay her to be her boyfriend while she travels across China. And when she goes to different parts, there are different people who will pay to be her boyfriends. And they pay for everything in her trip and all that kind of stuff. So she's doing a trip for free, and the benefit of you paying is that you get to be her boyfriend.
Sweet. She is very pretty. She is very pretty.
Yeah. Sorry, it didn't happen. Let's do it on a Euro trip. Let's see if people pay to be, you know, have us be their boyfriend.
It would have to be a very low price.
Have Wicked Anime be your boyfriends. Pay for gas.
Where can we go for that to work for us?
Japan. Oh,
North Korea.
But how will we get there?
Making our way downtown. North Korea town.
So that is all for strange news, which means that's the end of news. Boom. But guys.
Boomba guys.
What? We have something very important that has not been a part of our podcast for very long.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. It is time. And just queuing up the music track. It is time for the fetish of the week. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. We have to have the fetish of the week.
Play the sound again. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
That's an epic fetish week. I couldn't really tell what that was until the end.
It was screaming explosions and Godzilla roars.
All right.
Alrighty. I'll put the track in the actual recording so that people can actually like hear it.
Hear what it sounds like.
It's just a mess. It is a mess. Okay. It's fun though. Okay so we are going to try our hardest to bring back the fetish of the week for every episode.
You know, and it doesn't actually have to be like, it doesn't actually, I think what we should probably turn it into, it doesn't actually have to be a fetish of the week. Like, it doesn't have to be a news story of, hey, this is new. We should just talk about a fetish that that Japan has. Like, that would be our fetish of the week.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we saw one, what inspired me to do this was I saw one this morning. While looking through my Facebook feed and JList, which has the best updates in the world.
Yeah,
you need to guess it?
Yes.
Yeah, but you won't get it.
That's a challenge now.
Stuffed crust pizza.
Pretzel stuffed crust pizza.
Stuffed crust pizza.
Oh, man. Pretzel stuffed crust pizza sounds so awesome.
That's a real thing now.
Yeah, it exists.
Yeah, it's from Little Caesars.
Yeah, well, if Little Caesars doesn't count, I want it to be, like, real pizza.
Okay, is the fetish bigger than a bread box?
Yes. Yes. I don't know, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Is it edible?
No.
No.
Is it a color on the rainbow?
What? No.
Everything's a color, though.
Well, it could be black or white. It could just be straight black or white. We don't know. Or gray. Gray's not on there.
No, it's not that, though.
Is it living?
Yes.
Half of it is,
If you put it into a container, does it take the shape of the container?
No.
That would be very hard to do.
That rules out gases and liquids.
Does it involve a body part?
Yes, yes.
Yes, it does.
The weenus.
No.
Higher or lower?
Higher or lower? What is the price is right?
Yeah, actually, you know what? You're close. So
yeah, lower. It's lower.
Is it lower or higher? I don't know.
It depends on how you're standing.
Yeah,
depends where you hold your elbow.
What information do we have so far?
That it's part of the body.
It's bigger than a red box.
Bread box.
Bread box.
It's a bread box.
Foot fetishes are too common.
Okay. It's bigger than a bread box, and it's what? It doesn't take the shape of a container.
Yeah. It may or may not be higher or lower than the weenus, depending on what position a person is standing
in. Does it involve rubbing your hips on something?
No.
Is it a part of a person's body?
Yes. Well, yeah, technically.
The shin.
Technically.
No, not a body.
Stop naming body parts.
It's not a body part.
It's something that it's something that they do that makes something intriguing.
Yeah.
Can it just be consensual sex? Can Japan just have...
That would be the weirdest fetish. I got it.
Fetishes don't always
just
have to be,
you know,
sexual.
Sweet, loving, consensual sex.
Sweet, sweet.
That's not true.
Okay, they fill up super soakers with...
already on
sake.
On board.
Shoot each other in the belly button and drink out of the belly button whistling Yankee Doodle Dandy. At 3 o'clock. Wearing loafers.
But it's not Tuesday.
Oh, god damn it.
No, it's not that. Okay, that's enough guesses. How many attempts?
You guys had about 12 attempts. So that was 12 questions, 12 answers. You didn't make it to 20 questions yet, but I was counting, just so you know.
No, the fetish of the week that we are focusing on is girls holding their shoes while walking barefoot.
So it did involve feet.
So it's like a foot fetish subgenre.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, but they have to be holding their shoes in their hands.
Yeah. So, like...
Does that have to be a specific kind of shoe?
It's like they just removed their shoes.
Yeah, so they remove their shoes, and they're walking with them because they don't have anywhere else to put them while they're walking.
There's
and
a
that is hot.
Subgenre of what type of shoes you're wearing. I mean, or holding, you know, pumps, boots...
It doesn't matter, as long as you're holding the shoes.
A majority of the time, it's sneakers or flip-flops.
I'm saying, like, a nice...
Or sandals, I should.
Yes. I want to see a girl carry a pair of military boots.
All right.
Do you like girls with broad arches?
Woo! I hate you, Dylan.
So we got I guess it's kind of like a fetish because it's almost like in the same way. Remember when we had that one where it was like folding clothes in front of a bathroom door?
Yeah. which is like, oh, they're totally in there.
Yeah. So I mean, like it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that in the sense that, you know, it's like
I hear the water running in there.
They were talking the whole time you were trying to explain.
I know, it's kind of like the sense that it was like the anticipation of something sexy just happened. Like, it's like, oh, they removed the shoes and now their fingers smell like their feet.
What? When has that been a part of the fetish?
Wait, how were they holding their shoes?
I just added that up. I imagine that if you're going to the beach, it's hot, it's sweaty, you take your shoes off and you're holding your shoes long enough that...
No, that's not what I think at all.
I saw that in the comment section when I was looking at the pictures.
Yeah, the comment section for J-List is always a trip. Guys, seriously, subscribe to J-List posts, like whatever social media thing you're part of. It's awesome. It's so funny. And that was the Japan Fetish of the Week.
It just sounds like noise until the end, where you're like, oh, there's a guitar in there.
It is noise. It's like, I took one of my favorite bands, I took a sample of one of their live shows when they're like finishing a hardcore rock song and they're doing like that ensemble of just smashing instruments together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Godzilla and explosions
ensues, but that I added those in.
Yeah, I couldn't even get Godzilla out of that. I'll have to listen to the edited version.
You will.
I'll put it on my SoundCloud.
It'll be fantastic.
It'll be all right.
It'll be decent. So
it'll be adequate.
Yeah. So now it's time to talk about what we're watching. And oh my gosh, with the new season of anime that started and the fact that we had a skip week, I have watched everything under the sun that Crunchyroll has had to offer this new season.
We are not talking about everything you've seen.
No, absolutely not. I can run through them real quick because I actually in my break time when I don't have any new shows to watch, I watched Hero Man, which I really like.
Bones, I never finished that.
Yeah, Bones anime that is pretty good. It's just like a basic shonen, but it takes place in America and like they draw like Stan Lee every once in a while.
Stanley's in it. Yep.
That's funny.
And then for the new season of anime, I especially am very happy about Terraformers.
I haven't started watching Terraformers yet because I'm waiting for Crunchyroll to release the uncensored stuff.
Yes, it may be uncensored right now.
Really?
Until Sunday night. I'm not sure.
Seriously? Because I want to download that for a hardcore anime fan.
It is so censored that it's like watching a radio show at times. Like, whenever there's gore or anything like that, they just black out the screen on the bottom, and there's a light beam at the top of it. You can't see a single thing. But the story itself is still pretty cool. It's about humans tried to terraform Mars, and then what they did after they left it to terraform for 500 years, and they go back 500 years later, and the cockroaches that they left there as one of the animals that they put on the planet have grown into, like, these 7 or 8 foot tall... humanoid creatures that like to stomp on humans as we stomped on them.
I hate roaches.
So what they did was there's this disease. There's this MD. Disease on Earth that is actually an alien disease, and they need to go to Mars to get the cure for it. This is sounding like that Whitest Kids You Know sketch when they're pitching movies. Because that's where the antidote is.
And Vin Diesel comes, and he's like, yo!
and they're like, oh, snap! And then they have to go back in time where the dinosaurs are, because that's where the antidote is. They have to go to Mars to get a cure for the alien virus, and they have to fight all of the roaches. They can now breathe on Mars, but they have to be infused with bug DNA so that they get bug superpowers to fight the roaches, which are super cool. And there's a lot of action in the first couple episodes, but you don't see the bug powers until the fourth episode. And the fourth episode is where the action picks up, and the fight scenes are awesome. Like, the fight scenes in it are, like, I'm so on board.
So I'm really happy with Terraformers. Something else that I've been watching. Tribe Cool Crew is done by Studio Sunrise, who they did like Cowboy Bebop and stuff like that back in the day. It's a street dancing anime. And the thing that I thought about street dancing was, how can you make an anime with dancing that is something special? And that's what got me to watch it, because otherwise I wouldn't really watch a street dancing anime. So I watched it, and there is something indeed special about it. And what they did was they took 3D models of the characters whenever they're dancing. Like, it's a 2D animated show, but whenever they start dancing, they make 3D models of the anime characters, and they mocaps, like, actual professional dancers doing dances. Which is, it was kind of cool, but it looks kind of messy at times, and it's a little awkward seeing the 3D characters, but it's good.
Glad you're getting served, son.
Yeah, no, there is so much serving, and I'm learning so much about street dancing that you have no idea.
You just walk around with cardboard now?
Yeah, everywhere I go, I just take a cardboard with me, and if somebody, like, steps in my path, I just throw it down.
If they step up to you?
Yeah. I just throw down. I throw the cardboard down, and then I throw down.
And stop DR. And if there's another guy, you step up to.
I step up 3D.
With glasses.
Revolution. Was that one? Let's see, what else? What else is in my queue?
Dirty Dancing.
Well, let me talk. Because I think we had the same one. I'm watching. The comedy that I'm watching this season is Denki Gai, which is the one about the doujin shop or the erige shop or the manga shop that
in the Akihabara
district,
which is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's kind of weird at times, but I enjoy it as a comedy as it goes. I do recommend watching it if you're looking for a comedy this season. If you're looking for a short show this season, I've been watching. I can't understand what my husband is saying, which is each episode's only 3 minutes long.
It's
kind of funny. It's basically about a husband and a wife. The husband is an otaku, the wife is not, and it's just the misunderstanding between the two of them and how weird his life is and now how weird her life is. And then finally, the best thing I'm watching this season is Parasite.
Parasite is awesome.
Madhouse Studios, which is my favorite animation studio, is doing the adaption to the 80s manga Parasite, and they're doing a great job. It looks so beautiful, and it's really violent, and it's just great. That is my recommendation for this season, is watch Parasite. You have to.
Yeah, we had a couple fans who actually sent us messages asking us to watch specific ones, so that's what we did. The first one that we watched was from our fan Anna.
Yes.
And she sent us a message on Facebook. She sends a message on Facebook asking us to watch Yona of the Dawn, which is a story about a princess who loses her kingdom after her father dies, and she becomes a revolutionary fighter. It's a shoujo. It is super shoujo, but the action scenes are really good.
Which is exactly what she said.
What she said, and she is actually absolutely correct, and it's pretty good. I like watching it. When I have nothing else to watch, I watch it. The other one that I'm watching, which I believe Scott, our fan Scott, asked us to watch, was Cross Ange, because he said, is this like Masters of Martial Arts? And so I watched it because I had never heard of Cross Ange. And so I watched Cross Ange, and no, it is not like Masters of Martial Arts. It's the first episode was actually, it had like Attack on Titan level emotions at sometimes. There were like some crazy story elements that they took. And there is a lot of female fan service in it. Because I don't really know why they did it. Probably because they didn't think they had an interesting enough story to hold up the whole thing. But it's weird. It's a future fantasy. That's because they fight dragons in like mechs, which is a weird thing to say. But
is the dragon in a mech?
No, the dragon is not in a mech. The girls wear skimpy outfits in order to drive mechs for some reason. So the first episode was really weird, like Attack on Titan level emotions and whatnot. And then at the end, it got really weird with the fan service. And then the second episode just turned into, like, the Orange is the New Black, the anime. Where it's like, prison rules with women torture and all that kind of stuff. All the sexual stuff going on. So and it was shit. Weird. But it's kind of gory, too. Really? Really violent, gory.
What is this called?
Cross Ange. It's like a fan service show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's a step above a fan service show. Not as good as Sekirei, but not as bad as Master of Martial Arts.
Is it spelled out cross, or is it just an X?
No, cross, yeah. C-R-O-S-S, and then Ange, A-N-G-E.
Gotcha.
Yep. And then, lastly, another one that I'm watching is called Celestial Method. I watched it because I had nothing else to watch. The only tribute that this one has is that the animation is really good. Almost like they took mocapped actors at some point. They filmed somebody and then they animated anime characters over them. That's really the only thing special about it. It's about a girl goes back to a town and there's a flying saucer above, and there's a little girl who like represents the flying saucer that is her friend. It's okay. It's not great. But that's all I'm watching. Oh, wait. No. Sorry. I have one more, which is the new Studio Trigger anime. When supernatural battles become commonplace.
It's a
story about students who gain superpowers, but there are no bad guys to fight. So they live natural, regular lives. It's a slice of life, but they have superpowers, and they try to deal with it. Like, the main character, he tries to come up with nicknames for everybody and their powers and everything like that, and nobody's on board. It's so funny because, like, people have been in his situation where it's like, come on, guys, I want to do something cool, and they're like, nah, that's okay. Hey, what else has everybody been watching?
I actually have several things.
All right. Have you been, did you pull out a piece of paper?
I pulled out a list.
Oh, my gosh.
This is awesome.
I did. What were you going to ask?
I was going to say, have you seen the new, been continuing to watch Sword Art Online 2?
I have. I haven't seen the newest episode, which is probably two episodes behind from when this is released.
Yeah,
I haven't seen episode 16 yet, but yeah, it's cool. It basically did the same sort of thing where the first, 13 or 14 episodes were sort of a self-contained story, or not self-contained, but it was like that was one story, and now they're sort of starting another story after that. So it's like a second mini season, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's still cool. What else did I see? I saw the Chinese Zodiac. That Jackie Chan movie.
Is that his newest one?
It's not his newest one. It might be the newest one that got, like, an okay I don't think it was actually released here, but it does have, like, English track, or English audio, I mean, sorry. That was not that great. It was really all over the place. Remember the trailer where they're, like, fighting on the road, and then, like, it'll just cut to them, like, riding a log down a jungle, and then they're skydiving into a volcano.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was like the whole movie. It was just all over the place. There were some characters I didn't even know the names of by the end of the movie.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, but there were some cool fight scenes in it. But that was like one of the last films he's gonna do like huge stunts in, because I mean he's getting old. He's like 60 something years old now. But
and
he's broken basically everything.
Yeah, he's partly metal.
I would like to see him do more, like, dramatic or not necessarily, like, physically stunt, like, violent movies, but, like, because he was really good in Shinjuku Incident.
That was such a good movie.
Yeah, and there wasn't, like, huge, crazy Jackie Chan stunts in it. It was just sort of, like, drama with violence in it,
which yeah.
I think he can do really well in.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
I guess moving on, I started watching Eureka AO, Eureka 7 AO.
What do you think?
I like it so far.
Yeah, I like it.
I've only seen, five episodes right now.
Yeah, that's enough to decide whether or not you're going to like the series, because, I mean, the series continues on just as well as the first couple episodes. So if you're liking it, you're going to like it the whole way through. It actually, like, around episode 10 or so, like, I was gasping at the end of the episodes because they were ending on such cliffhangers. I was like, I gotta find out what happens!
Yeah, that's like the original series.
Yeah, right?
They still continue to do a good job with that, and you gotta keep going with it because it's so good.
Yeah, I gotta catch up. I mean, I'm straight up preparing to just start watching Sword Art. Because I just want to start watching Sword Art, and I think I'm just gonna go all the way through at some point.
Not that many episodes right now. There's like what 26 plus 14.
Yeah, and then the new season. So there's 16 episodes of the new season now.
Yeah,
too,
so far.
I at least want to get through the first season, and then
we all got to channel our inner Victoria and get through some anime.
Well, I have to catch up now because they're adding cat girls to Sword Art Online 2. So what the heck?
Oh yeah.
I have to catch up on that.
Yep.
And also, I think I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I actually watched all of the episodes of Naruto I hadn't seen and then read all the manga because it's ending soon.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, man, that's awesome.
Have you caught up, Glitch?
Oh, yeah, I'm caught up to it.
Okay. Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. I don't want to, like, spoil anything, but...
Yeah, now that he's spoiling, it's kind of predictable. Yeah. But let's put it this way. If you've been keeping up with it in any form or fashion, or you know the Naruto formula, you know what's going to happen at the end.
It is nice, though, that there hasn't really been filler, per se. There was a 1-2-part bonus thing that was, I think, during a holiday in Japan.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just been sort of like flashbacks that are the only annoying thing.
But they are setting up for the movie that takes place directly. Basically, like, thinking like a time skip that happened directly after the manga gets finished. I've been seeing trailers about that, and I'm actually excited to see that.
Hey, I haven't seen anything on that.
Yeah, it kind of spoils the ending in certain ways, though.
No, then I probably don't want to see it. But well, I can probably figure out what's going to happen anyways. But we don't have to talk about that. But I like it. It's cool. I think I feel like there's so many characters in the cast now, though, that some of them I don't feel like they got, like...
any screen time. But
well, yeah, like...
one or two pages or
yeah,
a couple of
I don't
of
feel
lines.
Like they got, like, a good way to, like... they didn't do, like, something really cool towards the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it does save you from having to watch a flashback episode about them.
Well, probably have
at
to
least
do
it's not like Bleach when you see their flashback episode, you know they're about to die.
And then
can't Bleach end?
It Bleach did. Is ending.
I've been hearing that for months.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard
like
that
a year.
Yeah, it's a slow wind down, man.
Well hey, a year in advance. Hearing a year in advance that Bleach is going to end is a really short amount of time. In the whole
like,
scope
what
of
I've been reading
with Naruto was like a month. Yeah. It was like out of nowhere. It's like, oh, in November it's ending. I was like, what?
Yeah, it told us like what, September, October, like around that area. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, by the way, Naruto's ending. But we also got this huge. They also post like this huge trailer of the movie that takes place right afterwards.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't seen that. But I have two more things. I watched one thing from the new season, a new Gundam series that I'm probably going to mispronounce called Gundam Rikan Goista? How would you say that?
I don't know.
Rikan Goista?
Yeah, we'd fuck that up.
Gundam Rikan in
Gundam
G.
Rikan.
In G. Which I sort of was hoping would be like a cool... back to form, like, Gundam series, because I feel like a lot of the... I think I had said before, I feel like a lot of the newer series are geared towards children more.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one still is. So I was a little disappointed in that regard, but I'll maybe watch another episode or two.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that a little while ago, that you had your high hopes for that.
Yeah, it's... the main character's really... I don't know, I find him really annoying. It is... The same character artist that worked on Eureka 7 did this, so all the characters look like Eureka 7 characters, but...
So the art's pretty.
See, yeah. I think one of the things that is slipping away in this day and age is kind of like all the artists are creating characters, main characters that are like boyish and young and very shonen-esque, and I don't think we really want that. Or, I mean, like, I know some people do, but... It's kind of hard to relate to them when they're whiny all the time.
That's the problem I have watching Hero Man right now, is that the main character, he's like a prepubescent boy.
I think my best example is watching Akame ga Kill. I really, really enjoy watching Akame ga Kill. I can't wait for the next episode to show up, but I cannot believe the fact that the main character does what he does. Like, it's just not believable.
Yep.
You know, it's just not... believable. His voice actor is not tough. His posture is not tough. Like, he's just not a tough character doing tough things, you know?
Yet he can slice down bad
guys. Yeah,
yeah,
he's doing it, and I mean, it's not like Kenshiro doing it. Like, Kenshiro doing it, I believe it. Like, when he does it, I just don't believe it, you know?
Believe it.
And then lastly, because I was sort of disappointed with that series, I went back and just
I had to Had to cleanse my palate.
Yeah, I went back and finally decided to try and finish Gundam Unicorn, which I haven't done yet. I have like two episodes left, but the way they did that series, each episode is like an hour, and the final episode is practically a movie. It's like an hour and a half, I think.
Wow, okay, yeah.
It's really cool. It is... it takes place in the like longest running Gundam universe, so there's like a lot of history that even I am like foggy on. Or
okay,
and so like there's like a lot of mentions of things that you're like you would have to have followed to actually really get the reference, but I don't think it's necessary for you to really enjoy the story. Maybe, I don't know. But the animation's great. The Gundams were done by one of probably the best Gundam mech designers. So they look really, really cool.
Nice. But
I'm enjoying that. I'll have to see how that plays out. The animation on the characters is really, really cool. And they even like draw them to where it's sort of like a nod to the really, really early series, but sort of up to date. So it's like nice and clean looking.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Glitch? Ninja Turtles? Let's move on.
Ninja Turtles and Korra.
You catching up on Last Airbender there, Andrew?
Nope. Not yet.
For that.
I'm gonna get to it. It's in my queue.
That's what you're gonna do when you retire. It's like, I can finally watch The Last Airbender.
All right, so I guess it's time to... So, Glitch, is that it for you? Because, like, I mean, what you were talking about right there kind of... like correlates to what you want to do for the Tapagotchi.
Yeah.
So you can go first, Dave, if you want.
And wait, oh yeah, so.
Okay, so we are starting a new thing where we want to test out new segments for the podcast. Yeah. So everybody has come to the table with a new segment. We already caught a little bit of glimpse of Dylan's because we've tried it in the past, but everybody else here has something new that they want to try out. So we are going to, instead of doing a Tapagotchi, we're all going to do something unique to the show and see if there's anything that you guys like that we should keep or that we should scrap and come up with something new. We're going to give it a shot. So, Glitch,
okay.
What do you have for us?
I have Journey to the West. We always talk about a bunch of... We all talk about a bunch of Eastern animes and whatnot, but we tend to forget that there are so many.
It's a little longer clip than we needed, but.
That's 38 seconds.
Oh my god. Like, to the west. That's the journey to the west.
It's actually a horse eating hay.
Yeah. Go west. We are on our way. Go west. In the song you do.
Yeah. I hate you two now.
It's almost over.
We're recording this in a stable, you guys.
There we go. There we go. All right. Go ahead. Yeah. You've died of dysentery.
We always highlight anime from Japan to the east. Let's get west coast, yo. Word.
I think you're playing it again, so you're wait.
You're wait like another minute.
All right, go ahead.
Where I'm debating just talking about Western cartoons in general, or the main idea right now is just highlighting a certain Western cartoon that probably is based loosely off, used like some anime styles or has anime tropes or references, but y'all know what this one's going to be about. Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
Because I saw the season 2 finale and my god, that was a finale. Considering the fact that they borrowed so much from the first movie in the best ways possible, but also threw in a bunch of like surprises and stuff and fight scenes that you've been waiting to see or that you didn't even know you wanted to see until they showed it to you. And you're like, oh, shit. There's like a pair.
I bet that's what the little kid said, like, too.
Cowabunga, man.
Or Booyakasha now. But
pizza flyers, man.
But like, especially... I want to spoil it, but I'm not going to. There's a fighting duo that happens that you did not expect, and you did not know you want or need.
Rocksteady and Bebop?
No, that's going to be season 3.
Oh.
Krang and Master Splinter.
Well, a little hint for like Bebop and Rocksteady. They already introduced Bebop's character.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was like a little master thief or whatnot.
Huh.
And they also introduced Bebop's character to Rocksteady as well, because... the dude that hires him is all militant, and he had like a rhino and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, they hinted everything very well. They make a decent duo. But no, I want to say it, but I can't.
You can't? I guess that'll be another off-the-record thing. Sorry, but folks.
You gotta watch the series, but, like, the series, if you're a Turtles fan, if you're an anime fan, if you're a cartoon fan in general, they tell the story in such a well way that each character is unique. It's not like the 80s Turtles where you pretty much can't tell who from who half the damn time. Yeah. And they always have their unique personalities, character quirks. April plays a bigger role. She actually, you know, does stuff. Like, Master Splinter is probably the best Splinter I've seen because he's actually a father to the characters and not just a sensei all the time. They actually act like brothers. They act like teenagers. The characters that they come up with now that are unique to the series and the callbacks that they do. Like, in the newest episode, they basically kind of loosely off the thing because they found April's mother. The voice of April's mother is voiced by the 80s April O'Neil.
Ha! There you go. That's awesome.
And, like, at the very ending of that episode, they saw some mutagen getting poured onto frogs, which, if you know Ninja Turtles, they're going to be the punk frogs. And the voice of Napoleon Bonafrog is going to be voiced by Michelangelo of the 80s series.
Wow.
So much meta.
They kind of did that with the new Thundercats series when Larry Kenny played Claudus, which was Lion-O's father in that mm-hmm. series. That was pretty awesome.
I liked how they...
I love it when they do that.
I like doing these reboot cartoons because it really shows you that, like, there are people out there who really do care about cartoons, you know?
And pay attention.
Yes. And
I love the callback because there are so many meta callbacks to just culture in general, but especially the Turtle stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd really suggest watching that one.
Hey, I got a thing for Into the West. You know, kind of mixing the Japanese culture and whatnot. Did any of you guys watch Gravity Falls?
No,
been of meaning course. To.
So not the newest episode, but one of the latest episodes of this new season was called Seuss and the Real Girl.
Like Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes. And basically what happened was it's about the character Seuss trying to find a girlfriend so that he can have a girlfriend for his cousin Reggie's wedding or engagement party or something. He ends up finding a Japanese dating sim that just keeps being returned to this game store. What happens is it's like, and it's all done. All the art in the for the the visual novel is done by Paul Robertson, who does all that awesome anime pixel art.
He did the Scott Pilgrim versus the World game.
Yeah, nice. And it's like this hilarious thing where Seuss gets sucked into this visual novel, but then you find out that the girl that he's dating in the visual novel is actually sentient. And, like, stalking him while he's not at home and, like, she's traveling through the power lines. And, like, then it kind of goes into this weird Five Nights at Freddy thing where she, like, zaps into the animatronic creatures at this
pizza joint.
Yeah, pizza joint. It's just so funny. God. But it had some incredibly heavy anime and otaku culture references that...
No kid on the Disney Channel, whatever.
Yeah, no kid who watches Disney Channel would ever understand. Like, this is, I'm talking, like, deep bone muscle anime references. So.
It'll be all right.
It was, yeah. Is that Into the West?
God damn it.
Then we need spur noises, too.
Ching, 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 ching. Quiet! You listen to this horse seat, hey!
Sorry, buddy. I'm sorry about your leg, man. We gotta.
I did it. Hey, while you can.
Just go.
I feed you the water you won't drink, huh?
Yeah.
You died of dysentery on the Oregon Trail.
No one disses Terry.
You died of dysentery.
Who is next? I guess I'll go next. My new section that I want to introduce is called Toy Shelf. Because one of the things that we never talk about on this show is the appearance of new toys from Japan. Toys,
figures,
PVCs. Anything new that's coming out that looks awesome.
We got some great ones.
I actually have one too.
Good.
I know.
So I'm gonna start off with something small that would just popped up in Crunchyroll's feed, where there's a new Moe figurine coming out, a new Bishoujo figurine coming out of Gamora, the kaiju from Godzilla. Now, so it's a Bishoujo figurine, a cute Moe girl figurine of Gamora.
Yeah, she's in like a cute girl in a school swimsuit with
like horns on her head and wearing like monster
really legs. Really huge monster thighs.
Yeah, it's weird, but it looks
it's so off-putting.
Yeah. But the Moe portion of it's cute. So next up that I'm going to, which I am just going nuts about cuz it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, is Kirino from Oriimo. Now it's a swimsuit figurine of Kirino, which is not unusual. The unusual part about it is that she has a squishable chest. I'll get to it. Now there's two versions of this. They're selling a version where the chest is not squishable, so that's a $400 figurine. And then if you pay $450 for this figurine, you get the one with the squishable chest.
So worth it. With that scope of...
Yeah, if you're already paying $400...
You can spare $50 more for squishy
boots. So, now, the thing is, though, is Kirino is a semi-pubescent character. She's like 14 years old, and so they're adding a chest to her to actually get, you know, the squishable boobs on, because she's a flat-chested character in the show. Not only that... This figurine is a 1 by 2.5 scale.
It's a 3 foot tall figure.
Whoa.
Jeez. Yeah. It's massive. It's huge. Think of it as if you're holding it, it's from your waist to your shoulders. That's how big this figurine is. In a swimsuit with squishable boobs of Kirino from Oriimo. That's what I got for Toy Shelf. That's what I'm bringing to Toy Shelf for today. And I'm definitely going to keep doing that because I'm not, well, if you guys like it enough. Because that's my jam. I love PVCs. I love figurines. And all the new ones that come out, I get to look at them and say, why are they torturing me with this? Because I can't buy it.
With all the Gundam stuff, they're releasing a Perfect Grade Unicorn Gundam, which, for those of you who don't know anything about the Gundam models, they have different grades, and that usually indicates scale.
Yes.
So, like, high grade is 1/144 scale. So those are usually, like, small action figures, like 5 inches, 4 inches. And then there's Master Grade, which is usually 1/100 scale. And those are a little bit bigger. And Perfect Grade scale is usually 1/60th scale. So those are huge model kits.
That's just humongous. It's, well, 1/60th to the actual size of, like, a Gundam, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the one in Japan that everybody freaks out about is 1:1.
Yeah.
So 1/60th is, you stack 60 of those on top, and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, but it's cool because there's not many Perfect Grade model kits. They only do them of, like, the very, like, most popular Gundam, I guess, designs. Like, the original one, of course, has one. And there's only been a couple more because they're also just so expensive. I think the model itself is 200-some U.S. dollars. But you can also get, because the Unicorn Gundam lights up in the show, you can buy a 100-something dollar LED kit.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah. But I've been trying to, while you guys were talking, I was trying to wiki it to see how tall it would be just to get into scale, but I can't find, around 15 inches taller could be.
That is a really decent size.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
I would be so afraid to put those things together. Seriously, one mistake and you ruin the whole thing.
Not really.
No pressure.
Not one mistake. Because, like, they're so intricate, especially the Perfect Grade ones, that, like, if you make a little mistake, it's even possible that it could be covered up by something else. But
true.
I've had to super glue things before, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Dylan, do you want to move on to your...
For my segment, we've already done a couple in the past of real or fake, and unfortunately, this is probably going to be a really lame one because I didn't have a lot of time to do it.
He did it last minute because he doesn't care about this show. Because
I didn't feel like doing it first minute, you know? So this one's going to be pretty obvious what the answer is, but this topic, which Glitch helped me out on, is real or fake vending machines in Japan.
I just came up with the idea. I didn't actually help him find the vending
machines. No, he didn't help me in that way. But
so he doesn't know the answer.
No clue.
No. It, well,
I was busy on my sound.
I told you it's going to be pretty easy. I couldn't really come up with one that's believable that you could also find it. Anyways, so I'm going to give you four things that you can find in vending machines in Japan, except that one of them is fake.
Okay.
Buddhist amulets found at a Buddhist temple. Fishing bait. Panties. Or carpet squares.
Wait. panties or used panties?
I actually think I've seen an article where they have used panties in a vending machine before, but I didn't find that article, so I don't want to say that. And
they
say
absolutely that it's gospel. They absolutely do have used panties. Yes.
Okay.
That is a thing.
There you go.
Well, I'm gonna guess that the one that you can't that does is not being sold is carpet squares. Well, okay. I
want to say fishing bait.
And well, believe it or not, I want to say the Buddhist ones because I don't feel like that they would have just vending machines at a Buddhist temple. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think they do. Remember, Jonathan, I watch a lot of NHK now. I've been watching the NHK network like a beast.
Okay, well, I'm still going to stick with that one just because I think that, like, I think that Buddhist monks are they're not Amish, right?
Buddhists don't commercialize.
They're not Amish. No.
What did you do with the Buddhist monks? They're not Amish, right?
So, I know, like, the technology thing is what I'm saying. So
no, it's very different.
Yeah, they're really into Tinder. Well, that actually worked out better than I thought it would.
I want to say fishing bait.
Carpet squares is the fake one.
Yes.
Come on, guys.
Well, it's Japan. You can actually kneel down anywhere with a carpet square. So.
That's sort of why I picked it, but I thought that was really obvious that one was fake, so I'm glad that it worked out better.
Yeah, I think that one just couldn't get by me because I like I said, I have been watching just so much of the NHK world programming, so I've been loving it. It's so good. So I know all that weird information about vending machines in Japan.
So you're not gonna be able to trick Andrew anymore, Dylan. He's just way too smart.
I'm just keeping up to date on everything NHK.
His brain has been filled with NHK.
I've been watching Japanese PBS all day.
Do they have a Reading Rainbow equivalent?
Leading Lambo.
Damn!
Speaking of English, I tried to like look up the Japanese like written translation for my name. And it gave me the characters for it, but then it also gave me the phonetical English like in our alphabet, and it's spelt D-I-R-O-N.
Dirun.
Dirun.
Yeah, I know how to spell my name in hiragana. It's Andaru. Like that's and then I actually did Fleming too. Fureming.
Glitch.
Yeah, goo. Fureminggu. Yeah, Andaru Fleming.
Gritchu.
Gritchu.
Gritchson.
It would be Gu-ri-chu. Yeah.
Gritchu.
I don't even know what mine would be. Mine would be tough.
Yours would be John.
Yeah.
John.
John.
Yeah.
John's son.
John.
Yeah, John. Yeah. And that was your moment of racism. okay, so now that we have come to the end of our new sections, it is time to premiere my section, which I want everybody to get involved in, which is something that we have all learned from today's show. I'm calling it sentimental anime. Okay, so what have you learned from this episode? To give an example of what I learned, to what we want to bring out in this episode is, like, something along the lines, let me find what I wrote down. Something like, it doesn't matter how much you are bleeding from your mouth, there is nothing medically wrong with you as long as you're the main character. So the one that I came up with for this episode is that
KFC hamburger meat is the most mysterious of the fast food meats. Andrew, what do you have?
What I have learned from this episode is if you break your coccyx doing a manime pose, you have to be manime and continue doing whatever you're doing before.
All right. Anybody else got one?
I've learned that Buddhists have vending machines, which means they're not as tranquil as they seem. They're very capitalist in certain aspects.
I learned nothing.
Surprise.
I learned that Glitch worked at KFC, which is kind of fun to think about.
Thanks, everybody. That was sentimental anime.
So the I just had this thought. So the leading Lambo, I guess the hopes would be Revolve.
What are you saying? Right now?
Oh, Revolve Burton.
You don't have to take my word for it.
Did you do? Bring, bring.
Oh, yeah, we're cutting that out. No, we're not.
Wow, that is
a gong sound effect there.
That is racist as hell.
I like the
hell.
Mini gong sound there. Bring.
Okay.
And that was Racism with Glitch.
Racism with Glitch.
It's time to go on to some fan service.
Okay, so for this episode, or for this section of fan service, we had a lot. Now, we had a whole bunch from a bunch of the same fans, which is really cool. Meaning, like, the same fans sent us a whole bunch of information over the past few weeks.
We love you guys.
So we're going to start...
All five of you.
We're going to start with our fan, Scott.
Hey, that's better than when we started. We used to only have none.
Us. Yeah. And we were barely barely fans of ourselves.
Only took us 2 years.
Okay, so Scott sent us some anime suggestions, but he also wanted to know at the same time, was it good animation or bad animation? Which is pretty cool because he actually wants to ask us that, like our opinion of that. He wants to know factually whether or not the animation is good or bad. From a certain level and a certain perspective. So the first anime was High School Senna, High School Senna Girls, or Senha Girls, which it kind of...
Seha. That's High School Seha.
Oh, it's High School Seha Girls, which it's...
Seha?
It's an anime about three schoolgirls who go to this school that's all about Sega games, and they're the embodiments, basically Moetons. They're the Moetons of Sega Saturn, Sega Dreamcast, and Sega Master System, or Sega Genesis here.
So I guess the Dreamcast one didn't last too long in the series, huh?
Yeah.
She got transferred.
And basically what they do...
She was ahead of her time.
What they do throughout the episodes is they jump into old Sega games, which is pretty cool. They had Golden Axe references, Virtua Fighter references, all these, like, and they use the straight-up names, like, you know, because it's completely licensed by all of the Sega stuff. And he wanted to know, you know, is the animation good or bad as well, because I enjoyed the Sega jokes because I grew up as a Sega kid, so I got all those jokes, which was pretty exciting for me, because they were even old Sega jokes. Is the animation good? No. The animation is very cheaply done. It's straight 3D, 3D modeled. They're all floating around and, like, sliding across the floors, and they're not in...
Worse than Ruby?
At points, it's almost on par.
Huh.
But it's also... I also think the animation wasn't the purpose of the show. But he has another show as well, which was another anime, which was called GDG... D GDGD Fairy Same.
Okay.
No, GDGD Fairies, same by the same director. Sorry. And that animation is worse than the Sega one.
Oof.
And
is it 3D as well?
It is 3D as well. It's the same director, same art direction, same all that stuff.
Okay.
But for this animation, basically, he also went the it didn't cost anything route. Just modeled the characters, had them move into a position and stay in that position, then move to another position and stay in that position. Ugh. So it's almost as if the animation doesn't exist, There's no anticipation from one animation to the next. They just move into it. You really got to follow the 12 principles or else it feels really uncomfortable at times.
Yeah,
it,
typically if you say, like, that animation is pretty bad, you're not wrong. People who don't know animation
can spot it out. You know if something feels comfortable or not. I can't believe we haven't talked about this because it happened so long ago when our fan Gerardo sent us a fan package.
Gerardo!
Yeah. We sent him a fan package back just to let you guys know that, hey, loyalty comes with its benefits. You know, if you guys want to send us cool things, depending on how cool and how much money may have been that thing is, you will get something equally cool back. Gerardo, I hope you enjoy that package.
I hope you enjoyed being a Saiyan Shrew, too, in my Nuzlocke challenge. Let's hope you live.
Why didn't you make him a Geodude?
Because, like, I already first off, I got out of Mount Moon already. But also, I promise the next male character I caught would be named after Gerardo, and it'd have to be a Saiyan Shrew.
Yeah, the way that the Nuzlocke challenge works is that you have to catch the first Pokemon that you get in a new area.
Oh, okay.
Or else you can't get another Pokemon.
Gerardo also participated in our conversation about the hentai stuff.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
But before that, he had an anime recommendation, which was Koe de Oshigoto, which is an anime about a 16-year-old girl who gets coaxed into being a eroge voice actress by her older sister.
That sounds awesome.
Well, that's what I said to I was like, that sounds interesting. I'd have to see it to see how it sits with me. And then he said, it's not creepy or anything like that. It's just kind of funny. So I check it out.
I think I saw Sarah posting some stuff on Tumblr.
Yeah, but like the whole concept just kind of sounds like, I don't know how I feel about that. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it.
Voice acting's a job.
Yeah.
What can you do, you know?
Anyway, moving on to the hentai discussion. He said his top five anime hentai series.
He did his top five as well. That's sick.
Yeah. In no particular order is Bible Black, G Taste, Night Shift Nurses, Kokai Benjo, and MEME.
I forgot all about Night Shift Nurses.
I've seen Night Shift Nurses, but I only like one of the series, and that was Experiment.
Night Shift Hearses.
Night Shift Nurses Experiment was the one that I liked. The animation was better. It was a little more updated. Though the ones by the director who that I mentioned in my list, the one who does all those crazy stuff, he did some Night Shift Nurses ones of that, and he also did that was the one where the line, "How can you love me if you don't eat or poop?"
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. So he worked. That one was Night Shift Nurses Ray. That's where that line comes from. Night Shift Nurses Yu Yagami is another one he did. And Yu Yagami is in almost all the Night Shift Nurses series. Like, I didn't know. That's just kind of weird. Anyway, his favorite genre is bondage, and anything that involves it, he'll watch it. Tentacle rape, mind-breaking, and plenty more.
By the way, we're getting into some 18-plus stuff for this episode of the podcast, so if there's anybody who was objective to last episode, you're going to be objective to this section.
This is a great place to put that disclaimer.
Yeah, I know. I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway.
We said hentai. You should already know where this is going.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
His favorite artists for doujins and mangas, Hakaba, Kuroshi Ringo, EC Major, and Spark Utamaro. Okay.
No, I'm not familiar with those names.
I'm not either. They're not in my
guess. I'll have to do some research.
Yeah, they're not in my circles. I did. I actually looked them up afterwards, and I see it. Not my cup of tea, but
it's not my cup of tea.
Well, no, it's the art. Like I just wasn't really into the art as much as that goes. But it was stuff. Anyway,
it was stuff.
Yeah, it was. It did indeed exist, and he did not make up names.
He'll be all right.
and then we move on to this actually probably should have gone into gaming news. But I'm going to keep it here in
fan service.
In fan service. From our fan, Temsu. He's Temsu on the Nerdy Show forums. Sent us a message. Sent me a link to a couple different blogs mentioning that the trading card game for Dragon Ball Z is being reborn.
Really?
Yes. So they're actually recreating cards, recreating a system, all that stuff, and they're bringing Dragon Ball Z collectible trading card game back to life.
What about to America?
I think that's what, because it was all fan-based. Like, when the card game went away, the fans kept it going, and they kept making cards and everything like that, and now it's actually being reborn because of the fans.
Interesting. Well, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. He did, it was funny because he mentioned that, Dragon Ball Z is a topic, a popular topic to be bashed on this show and stuff like that, but just because we bash it on this show, I mean, I know we don't, like Jonathan and I don't like it ourselves, but we understand why it's so popular. So we're not bashing it because we believe everybody shouldn't like it.
Yeah, there are aspects of Dragon Ball Z that I still really like.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that would like to actually watch and finish Dragon Ball Z someday. I'll probably watch Kai.
Okay.
Like, I love Dragon Ball Z, so.
So moving on, our fan Sean, first off, this was replying back to kind of his response of him saying, "Oh, how Wicked Anime didn't change his life," kind of a thing.
Oh yeah.
Where he sent me a picture on Twitter of him at work, and he basically said, "Wicked Anime makes a crappy work day a good work day." So, okay.
Get back to work.
So he listens to us at work, and it makes his work day a lot easier, which is great because podcasts.
I honestly wish that my job allowed me to listen to podcasts at work because I would all the time, but I can't. I'm not allowed to use headphones at work. I can listen to music, but I have to keep my phone in my pocket, play music that way
as a radio.
Yeah.
And then Sean also continues on saying his response to hentai. Now, he said that he usually keeps it pretty vanilla.
18 plus disclaimer.
So he's on the same page as Jonathan almost, where he's boring. but he doesn't watch a lot of animated stuff. He mostly goes, he did mention, however, OVAs such as Violence Jack, Kite, and Mezzoforte.
Those aren't technically...
No, Kite and Mezzoforte, that's why I respond to them. Kite and Mezzoforte are considered hentais. They are, in fact, considered hentais. But that's what he said. He wasn't counting those as hentais. He was just talking about this is what he has seen as far as, graphic sex.
Graphic sex, yeah.
Mezzoforte and Kite are technically considered hentai, but Violence Jack isn't with all the sodomy and rape. It was just nuts.
That show is crazy, man. That show is crazy.
I really, really like it, though. But another thing that he likes to do, which I have also experienced myself, is you go to a manga or a doujin reader website or a hentai manga reader website, and if they have a random button, going on a random adventure.
That sounds really dangerous. Really, really dangerous.
Yeah, you click the random button, you get a random doujin or...
And then you have a new lifelong fetish.
Exactly.
Well, you thought you never knew. Yep.
Carrying shoes, that's so my fetish. Is that all we have for fan service?
No, that's it for Sean. We have, we have a lot of fan service.
That's it for Sean. We're done with you.
And I'm trying to keep
back to work, Sean.
Because I actually even have to go back to Mike. Our fan, Mike,
all over the place.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Well, because, like I said, we got a lot of fan service from the same group of a bunch of people. Mike wants us to know, or wants to ask us if we've been watching Sword Art Online. And Magi, which he knows our opinions about Sword Art Online, but he was asking if any of us had continued watching Magi, and which a lot of us had fallen off of that.
Yeah, from the first couple episodes. I liked it, but I didn't really want to keep going. He did ask who our favorite side character was, and based on the first season that I watched, I loved Sinbad in that show. Sinbad was clearly the best character.
Yeah.
But it could be changed now.
Yeah, now that they're all the way through season two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll find time to jump back on it.
I want to. I've always wanted to go back to Magi. Because he was talking about listening to our rants about Sora Online 2. Is it worth watching then? Because he likes MMO genre animes like Dot Hack Sign. So would you say it's worth watching Dylan?
I do. I would say it's worth watching because the way it's been done, even though it's... two seasons so far. The first season was 26 episodes. The second season's only done 16. They're, even though there are two seasons on websites or wherever you would watch them, they're technically 3 and they're just starting the 4th of, right, like, you know, 13 episodes. And the only bad one was that second one.
Yeah.
It's basically now, been 4 little story arcs is what I'm saying. I feel like I was a little confusing. But the one story arc with the fairies was the one that everyone's like, that was weird.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then Mike has another question is if any of us have ever seen any of the Marvel animes.
No.
I've seen bits and pieces of them, but not set down.
So, so none of us have really seen the Marvel animes. I do, in fact, have the X-Men anime on DVD, though. But I bought that as a joke, because I do not like X-Men. I'm going to eventually work
give
that
them
into
money.
A review. Yeah, I'm going to eventually work that into a review and kind of make fun of it. So no, we haven't seen, like, the Iron Man ones, the Wolverine ones.
I heard Iron Man's good, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I like Marvel stuff, but I don't pay attention to it as much as DC and stuff.
Yeah, I think Sean watched the Iron Man one.
Yeah, but he's not on this episode, so...
So we can't answer that question.
Oh,
when we mention Sean, you should just get that Windows, like, bonk noise when, like, something goes wrong.
Okay. And then attached to Mike's conversation here on Facebook, we also have Big Bad Shadow Man. Big Bad Shadow Man wants us to point out a Kickstarter. And it's a Kickstarter called Kaiju Gaiden. It's for a documentary series. You can go to the Kickstarter and fund a documentary series.
Link in the description.
Yeah, link in the description. Basically about giant monster filmmakers. Some of them are indie filmmakers for these giant monster genres. But this team, this duo of American documentary filmmakers who have the personalities of a computer compiling data in their trailer, but they have a really cool idea for a documentary. Yep, so go check those out. You can actually, it actually has a pretty cool picture of one of the Japanese guys in like a monster costume. They have 17 days to go as of this recording.
Which means when this comes out, they'll be pretty close to finishing.
Yeah,
but it'll still be going on.
Almost $9,000, but they need $25,000 for their goal.
Oof.
So they need your help, yo. And finally, our fan Keto was messaging us with threats of unsubscribing once again. As he says... in the last episode, there is not a single mention or joke of Bukake.
Holy crap! How did we miss that?
No, dude. I gave him a response, and I said there are so many things that we did not cover.
We could have covered that with Bukake jokes. Right in front of our noses. There you go.
Damn! Oh man. Okay. Other things that we did not cover that are popular, yes, the Bukake genre. We did not talk about that, which I let him know that we have a unused clip where we mentioned Bukake, but we didn't use that clip in the final cut of the podcast. Genres that we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about fan animations for hentai. We didn't talk about computer games. We didn't talk about games, like gaming.
Game sims at all, damn.
We didn't talk about... we talked about visual novels, but I'm talking about, like, Illusion. Like, Illusion is the most famous and the most well-known game maker for hentai games in all of Japan.
Yeah, you can make, like, Sexy Beach. And...
Yeah, like, where you get to customize your own characters and, like, completely, fully customize your own characters and just go nuts. It's awesome. But we didn't even talk about that. So what we were hoping was that would have a hentai discussion with our fans large enough so that we could make another episode about it and we can talk about everything that we missed.
Maybe we'll do that on episode 100.
Maybe.
Stick around.
Stay tuned to find out. That's only, what, 2 more years away?
So let's kick off the shameless plugs, and then we'll wrap it up.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us for the Wicked Anime Podcast. If you guys want to join in our conversation, please give us your opinions about our new segments. Maybe you want to see a new segment. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have recent updates, frequent updates about videos, news, whatever we find on the internet that might be fun. Conversation with you guys, obviously. We just had a huge conversation, which led to that huge fan service. You can find us on Twitter. You can tweet us at Yo Wicked Anime, at Yo Wicked Anime Yo, no something yo. You can find us at, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our reviews and our podcast, if you're not listening to our podcast on there already, where you can also find our podcast on iTunes. Please rate us and write a review or something.
And also on SoundCloud.
Yes, you can find us on SoundCloud as well, where you can drop your questions right at the moment we say them.
Which reminds me, we didn't have any on our...
I didn't check. I did not check.
Yeah, I didn't check either.
They didn't do their homework. Oh, no.
It shows up on my feed in SoundCloud. I didn't see any.
No? Okay.
We did ours.
What?
Well, in other news, we have gained quite a few listeners on SoundCloud. In the past couple of weeks, we've gained like 20 new listeners.
Finally, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is our main hub for everything Wicked Anime. I believe that's it, right? Am I done?
I don't know.
Can I stop this nonsense?
Can we go home? So check it out, guys. For the upcoming episodes, I'm working on talking with Dr. Vern of the Nerd Groove on Nerdy Show, and he's also the DJ for Nerdy FM, the Nerdy Show's radio station, and he's going to work on getting us some awesome new tracks. I haven't worked anything out yet with him as of this recording, but by the time this recording's over, he might get us some pretty sweet tracks. So you might be listening to a track after this that you can hear on Nerdy FM. And I'll put a description of the people who you may be listening to in the description of this episode on nerdyshow.com, and then I'll also let you know who they are in the next episode when we get the tracks.
We have I know we have a shiny new everything for Wicked Anime now. But of course, we're going to keep it old school and keep it the same and sign off the only way we know how.
Okay, bye.
Now we're recording.
Okay. Oh, man, that's really loud.
Is it coming out of there?
I think so, yeah.
Where is it coming out of?
Yeah, it's coming out of... Oh, hold on. I think I need to change...
Kanakamatsu?
Huh. Speakers...
Honestly.
Too many, I can tell you already.
Wait, what's going on with the suicide cards? Activated.
Oh yeah, Die Hard.
P. You can loop. You can layer them.
Oh no.
P to Ode to Joy.
This is the worst.
Oh my god.
No one's gonna want to listen to this.
What?
Half the time I can't even tell who's playing the sounds. If it's you or if it's coming from them or.
I'm playing the sound. You. Peace up. And up.
It doesn't work when you're laughing over the sensor beep.
Yeah, it doesn't work when you're talking over it.
Oh, you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that air horn. Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships.
For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.